thank you so much. It is always a pleasure. First of all, it's always a pleasure to work with you, Rabbi Lipner, always with a smile, always with enthusiasm. You already know this. You don't need me to tell it to you. But it's really a joy to be able to work with somebody who has such love of Judaism, love of Torah, love of people, all in combination. And I definitely second the recommendation for tomorrow morning, the chance to hear Rabbi Ziering and Midrash at Yom Rishon for all the women. 10 o'clock to 11:20, I'll be speaking there as well, but he has a second slot. So if you have to choose, you know, one of the two slots, take the second one. Topic for this evening, tshuva, changing the past, creating the future. And I'm building on an idea expressed by Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. I think he's probably familiar to most people here, but just briefly, Rav Cook grew up in Europe. He was a student in the yeshiva in Volozhin, a student of the Netziv, actually, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda of Berlin, became a very serious halachic authority, a posek of the first magnitude, an expert in Gemara in the Talmud, but he also has a heavy influence of Hasidus, of Hasidic thought, that comes through in his writing, especially in the concept of Dveikus, of drawing close to Hashem. He's heavily influenced by Kabbalah, by mysticism, well-read in secular philosophy apparently as well. And one of his works, the one that we're going to be drawing on heavily tonight, is called Orot HaTshuva, literally, the lights of repentance. The first three chapters of the work were written directly by him, and the rest of them were collected by his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, from his writings. And what he tries to do is establish a philosophical framework of repentance, offering inspiration as well as advice. Heavily steeped in Tanakh, Jewish scripture, heavily steeped in Talmud, heavily steeped in Kabbalah, frankly, often without explicit mention. But to sum up his philosophy, if you look at the sheets that you should have, and you see at the top of the sheet, I gave you a link to where you can find Orot HaTshuva online. Right below that, from his introduction, he writes something which, for me, the moment I read this line, I knew I wanted to finish this book and I wanted to really grasp it. Because he said something which, until I saw it there, it had never crossed my mind. He says, "Hatshuva hitofeses es hachelek hayoser gadol b'torah v'chayim." I'm going to go back and forth between Ashkenazi and Sfarad Mivta when I read Rav Cook. Because on the one hand, since it's Rav Cook, I feel like it has to be Sfaradit. But on the other hand, my native is Ashkenazi. So I go back and forth. I apologize. But he says, "Hatshuva hitofeses es hachelek hayoser gadol b'torah v'chayim." He says, tshuva, which we usually translate as what? As repentance. We're going to change that translation as we go, but usually it's rendered as repentance. He says, tshuva, tofeses, it holds, it occupies, hachelek hayoser gadol, the greatest portion of Torah and chayim, of Torah and life. Aleh benuyos kol hatikvos ha'ishiyos v'atziburiyos, on this are constructed all human hopes, all communal hopes. It's a magnificent idea, to me at any rate, that changed the entire way I look at tshuva. Because if you would have asked me before I ever opened up with Cook on this subject, I would have said tshuva is an eraser. It's whiteout. Right? You did something wrong. Or, you know, well, whiteout is, you know, dead, fine, nowadays. But you get the idea. It's the delete key. You made a mistake. Okay, so here's the way to correct it. I wouldn't think of an eraser as fundamental to my existence. My goal in life would be to get by without an eraser. My goal in life is to write sentences that don't require that I go back. Not that the eraser should become a fundamental part of who I am. Rav Cook says no. He says tshuva is fundamental. He says all personal and communal hopes are founded upon it. And what we'll do, I hope, tonight is understand why. And the way I want to get to that point of understanding why and how this works is through a difficult passage from the Talmud. Take a look, please, at source number 2. It's a classic. Amar Reish Lakish, the sage Reish Lakish, said, Gedola tshuva, shezidonos nasos lo kishgagos. He says, tshuva, repentance, is great because it turns intentional sin into accidental sin. And I brought in the Hebrew, the verse from which he draws this. It's not directly relevant for tonight. He says, when a person repents, that turns transgressions performed intentionally into transgressions performed accidentally. To which the Talmud then continues and says, well, wait a minute. We have another idea from the same sage, from Reish Lakish. V'ha'amar Reish Lakish, gedola tshuva shezidonos nasos lo kizichuyos. We have Reish Lakish separately saying that intentional sin is converted by repentance into a merit. That a person can take something they did wrong, and that they did wrong knowingly, intentionally, and turn it into a mitzvah by repenting. So why do you only say that it turns it into accidental sin? It actually turns it into a mitzvah. To which they answer, it depends on how you did your tshuva. Depends on whether you do it out of yira or out of ahava. If it's done out of love, then yes, the sin becomes a merit. It's a very difficult passage. I understand the idea on some level that if a person repents, God may say, I forgive you. And forgiving me means it's as though it never happened. How can forgiveness turn something into a good thing? How can it turn it into a mitzvah? Imagine between two people, right? I did something wrong to another human being. Whatever it was, I cut him off in traffic, I don't know. I did something wrong to another human being. I realized what I did was wrong. I apologized profusely from the bottom of my heart with love for the other human being for having done so, for having cut him off in traffic. Does that turn cutting him off in traffic into a good thing? No? Hello? I mean, does it? No! So what is Reish Lakish talking about? Even if you did tshuva, you repented out of love, how does it turn the wrongdoing into a merit? Can anyone explain that? Yes. Well, they're talking about tshuva in terms of my relationship with Hashem. So let's say love for Hashem. I'd be glad to hear an explanation on either level. It's a very difficult passage. Yes? Mm-hmm. Right. The tshuva shows that I've become a better person and that I won't do it again. But where's the merit in that? So the merit is the humbling experience. So I want to come back to that. Thank you. Because that's a valuable point for where we're going. But I think we have half an hour till Slichos. So, I'm going to spell it out a little longer. There's more to be said here. See, Rav Kook looks at the goal of tshuva and says, it's not really about sin. Repentance isn't really about a transgression. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Take a look at source number 3, please. Source number 3, another passage from the Talmud. Shiva divarim nivru'u kodem shenivra ha'olam. 7 things were created before the universe came into existence. Eluhain, here's our list of 7. Torah, u'tshuva. Gan Eden, v'gehenem. Kisei ha'kavod u'beis ha'mikdash, u'shmo shel Mashiach. And the way I recited it is because they're each pairs. Torah and tshuva. Torah is the law, and tshuva is the repentance if one broke the law. That's usually the way we read this line. Gan Eden, the place of reward for one's mitzvot. and Gehinnom, the place of punishment for transgression. Kisei HaKavod, the divine throne up in the heavens, Ubeis HaMikdash, and the temple down here on earth, parallel to God's throne upstairs. And then last, the name of Mashiach. So this line, you know, we could spend all the way till daybreak, you know, explaining this this passage out of the Talmud. But clearly this line isn't meant to be taken literally, that those are created before the world. How do you know that? Torah is not given till later, but even aside from that, the Beis HaMikdash, how do you create a temple before there is a universe? This is talking about the potential for these. These are so key, so fundamental to the divine blueprint for the universe, that they are prerequisites. The universe can't exist without these prerequisites. And one of them is tshuva. So Rav Kook is bothered, because that seems to say then that sin is guaranteed. Right? Otherwise, why is repentance a requirement for the universe? Can that be? And his answer is no. Tshuva is not really about sin. And take a look, please, at source number 4, the first of the quotes I will bring from Arod HaTshuva, from Rav Kook's work on repentance. He has another work on repentance called Musar Avicha, which is also worth reading. But he writes, Mahalach kol hayesh, hu banui al yesod HaTshuva. The path of all existence is founded upon tshuva, upon this thing we're calling repentance. Ha-havayot mitgalot b'toch yiridah me'elokiyut la'olamiyut. He says, entities come into existence, are revealed in existence, as a descent from the divine realm to worldly realms. Shukamo hashpala umitano ra'a, he says, it's a form of descent. It's a terrible death. Asher kol yiridot sheba olam madre midarga ledarga, meribui kisharon v'kinyan lemi'ut kisharon v'kinyan lo yishvula. He says, all entities come into this world from a spiritual realm. Our souls come from a different place. And entering into the physical world in which we have a body, in which we have physical needs, in which we have physical desires, inevitably is a, I'm going to invent a word, mundanification of the soul. We make ourselves more mundane. We don't have a choice. This is who we are. We will be distracted by things that wouldn't distract a pure soul. We will be drawn by desires that wouldn't be appealing to a pure soul. And inevitably, that will distract us from our spiritual character. And he says, that's the way the game is played. That's the way it's designed. It's Hashem's calculation. And then he writes, Omnam, I'm jumping a little bit. In the Hebrew, Omnam is in the middle of the third line. In the English, it's the word but, the end of the fourth line. Omnam yurida zo, halo yesod ha'aliyah krucha kvar ba. He says, this descent has the foundation for greater ascent stored within. It's true that there's an element of descent in coming into this world. However, within that same descent, you find the seeds for growth. And he quotes you a passage from Tehillim, B'terem harim yuladu, v'tcholel eretz v'tevel, u'me'olam v'ad olam atakel, v'tashev enosh ad edaka, v'tomer shuvu b'nei adam. God, before the mountains were birthed, before the earth and its foundation were formed, he already lowered us. He said, I'm going to lower you when I put you into this universe. However, I'm also going to declare Shuvu B'nei Adam. Your task in this world is to return to that original state. To return to that perfection. In other words, Tshuva doesn't mean repentance. Tshuva actually means what it means in the Hebrew, which is return. It's not about having sinned. It's about realizing our spiritual nature in this world in which we are physical, in which we are mundane. It's about growing towards that state. And everybody needs to do that, whether they have sinned or not. And their capacity to do that is what is promised by tshuva. The idea of tshuva as a fundamental element in the creation of this world is a message that God sends, which says this can be done. This is not impossible. We're all capable of doing it. Shuvu B'nai Adam says everybody sitting in this room is capable of returning to that higher state, is capable of being mitpateach, of developing in such a way that it will emerge in our actions in this world. And he writes, that original perfection that we had, that spiritual character that we had, remains within us even when we sin, even when we do something wrong. Take a look, please, at source number 5. Rama wrote that tshuva, he writes, Hirhurei tshuva, thoughts of tshuva, heim heim megalim es omek haratzon, they reveal the depths of one's desire, v'hagvura shel haneshama misgala, or mitgala al yadam bechol milui hoda, the strength of the soul is revealed in all its glory. When we think of improvement, when we think of return, ulefi gola shel hatshuva kach hi midas hacherus sheba, he says the greater the thoughts of tshuva, the greater its liberation. The point that he is making for us is what he said right at the beginning. Thoughts of tshuva reveal the depths of our desire. In other words, the desire is there all along. It's within us. We have within ourselves a desire to become our highest form. And tshuva is simply the means of doing it. But he says it's always there, it's even stronger in source number 6 where he writes, Hatshuva hi tamid shriya balev. It always resides in the heart. Afilu be'ez hachet atzmo. Even when we are sinning, even at the moment that a person is doing something wrong, Hatshuva genuzehi b'neshama, it is hidden inside. It is stored away inside, the desire to do right, the desire to become the best version of ourselves. And more than that, he says, you want to know what gets us there. You want to know what gets us on this path to actually become our best selves. What is it that causes me to take my steps along that path? The avera, the transgression. The sin is the catalyst. When you think about people who have made major changes in their lives involving seriously harmful behavior, very often the catalyst for them to change is not that they heard a speech somewhere, that they read an inspirational book. The catalyst very often is when they look at themselves after a particularly low point and say, that's not who I am. That's not who I want my future to be. That's what causes them to turn it around. And that's what Rav Kook believes is the role of sin. It's the catalyst for us to change. Take a look, please, at source number 7. He writes, Hacharata hativit, natural regret, haboeret belev, which burns in the heart, mitchunata shel hatshuva, is one of the traits of tshuva. Ba'ami toch tzar haneshama shehi mitzda'eret, me'amidata matzav achad b'ma'alata, tachad, it should say, tachad, shaita tzricha b'chol eit la'alot mala achar mala. He says that natural regret is a trait of tshuva, when the soul feels pain at the fact that it is stagnating rather than ascending. The kavachomer in himargeshes ba'atzma yirida, and certainly if somebody feels not only stagnation, but descent. At that point, a person says, I have to change. And so he continues on the second side in source number 8. I thank the shul for copying. I apologize for going over onto another page. Kol chet mad'iv es halev. He says, all sins cause the heart to grieve. He says, you want to know why sin causes the heart to grieve? It demolishes the unity of the individual with the universe. We're no longer in sync when we're doing something wrong. He says, every ethical severing from that whole, whether because of one's thoughts or one's deeds, individual traits or general balance, no matter what it is, it causes many small incisions, small cuts, which instigate great internal pain for all aspects of the soul. We know when we're doing something wrong. I think of, when I read this, a person holding a hand near a burner that's on. Right? The pain that you feel is a warning. It's sending you a message. It's saying, move away, there's something here that's bad for you. That's what Rav Kook is describing in terms of the pain that a person feels when they know they're not in sync. Something isn't right. And in that sense, it is as valuable as the pain is. The pain in that circumstance is not your enemy. The pain in that circumstance is your best friend. It's warning you, there's a problem, there's danger here. And if you don't listen, it's going to get worse. That's what the Avera is. That's what the transgression is. It's a warning shot. And so it actually triggers a person to say, the status quo is untenable. I need to change. Take a look, please, at source number 9. He writes, Kisha oskim b'tshuva, when a person is involved in this process of tshuva, Srichim lahagdir b'yoser es mahusam shel hatov v'hara. He says a person has to define well what is good and what is bad. Kedesha haratav v'ziyazua haratzon michiyuv l'shlila. You blew rak al hara v'lo al hatov. He wants to make sure that whatever changes he's going to make will uproot the bad, but not uproot the good. V'od yoser shetzarech levarer es hatov hanimsa be'omek hara ulchazeko so. And we need to filter the good that's there out of the bad and strengthen that good. V'oso hakoach atzmoshe borchim min hara, with that same energy that we use to flee from the bad. Kedei shetiyya hatshuva koach poel letova, so that that tshuva will be a force driving us to the good. Which converts all of our transgressions to the good, into merit. And here he brings us back to that opening passage that we saw from the Talmud. Do you now see where he's going? How is it that my transgression actually can become a zchus, can become a merit? Someone mentioned humbling before. Right? That a person is humbled when they change. What he's saying here, as I understand it, is because yes, if I am alert to what I'm doing wrong, if it is a wake-up call, and the result of that wake-up call is that I become better, I develop better traits, then you bet that is a zechus. That is a merit of the highest order. Imagine the case of somebody who is texting while driving. They're texting while driving. And they get pulled over. And they get a much deserved ticket for it. They may say, "Ah, I can't believe it. It's going to cost me and it costs you more now." Good. They're going to say, "Ugh, yeah, I demerit points, whatever." Yeah, they'll be very frustrated. Their insurance may go up. If they learn from the experience, it may save their lives. It may save the lives of others. how much good may happen to them as a result of the ticket that they got. That's the idea. That's what Rav Kook is drawing on. He's saying the transgression is a symptom, it's a warning. There's something wrong that needs to change. Make it larger than that. Make it larger than that. A person is in conversation with somebody else, and as they're speaking, they, without noticing, divulge somebody's secrets that they weren't supposed to spill. The person they're talking about hears about it and gets very angry at them. Rightfully so. So if they're annoyed, I got caught, I apologize, it's over. So they didn't learn anything from the experience. However, if that becomes a spur for them to ask themselves, am I being careful in my relationships with other people? Am I being careful about confidences? Am I being careful in the way I speak? Am I looking at my words before they come out of my mouth? Then that time that they sinned, as bad as it was, is actually a very good thing. Not for the person whose secret they spilled. But for them, it's going to be a trigger for them to become much better people. It's going to be a trigger that's going to improve the way they conduct themselves with other people and the way that they speak. And so, yes, the sin can in fact be a merit. It can be a cause for humbling. It can be a cause for examination. It can be a cause for growth. Take a look, please, at source number 10. Rav Kook writes, Ofek ahabatam misrachev al yedei atshuva. One's horizon broadens when one does tshuva. Umitoch galo ve'arko rochbo rumo ve'amko shel mabat choder zeh, as a result of the greatness and length and breadth, height and depth of this penetrating view, misgale hatov ve'achesed ha'eloki ba'amitaso. The truth, the goodness, the generosity, those are all revealed. Hapagimos haniros besidrei chayim nahasos mukaros betor kmatim hamisyashrim umispashtim. He says, you know what? That which seemed like a flaw turns out to be a crease. Right? You have a pair of pants, and you think that they're torn, and you examine it closely, and you realize, no, it's just a crease. I have to flatten it out, smooth it out, and it'll be fine. That's what the Avera turns out to be. The sin is simply a sign of something that needs to be corrected. Something that needs to be made straight. But everything in the universe within the thought of Rav Kook has a purpose. And that's the purpose of the sin. And he applies it in three ways. He says, first of all, sin awakens me to tshuva. It shows that it tells me I need to wake up, but it comes from a good source. That's number one. Number two, he says, the sin triggers an anxiety in me, a feeling that things are wrong, and that therefore I need to correct my path. If you take a look at source number 11, he says, Kolchit matil charadam yuchedes al hanefesh. He says, every sin introduces into the spirit unique anxiety. She'einam istalekes ela yidei atshuva. It's not going away until a person corrects it. Ulufi omkashal hatshuva charada atzma mishapechas levitachon va'omets levav. He says, you know, the more complete one's growth, the more that anxiety will be converted to faith and courage, to something that is a positive. And he writes something remarkable. He says, "V'haroshim shalacharada habaam itzarachet efshar lahakiro bein b'sir tutei hapanim bein b'tnuos bein b'kol bein ha'anaga bein b'chsav hayad bein b'signon halashon b'dibur u'b'yoser b'ksiva b'harsa'as harayanos v'sidurum." He says, when a person feels that anxiety, that feeling of something is not right with me, there's something in me that's not the way it should be, he says, you can tell. You can see it in the lines on his face. You can see it in the way he moves, his voice, his conduct, his penmanship. Scary. It's a good thing we type. his mode of speech, writing, presentation, structuring of ideas. When people feel that something is not whole within them, it shows. And he says, that's a good thing. It means they're sensitive, they're aware. And potentially, then they can correct it. So he says, the avera, the sin, is a good thing in the sense that it awakens us, in the sense that it gives a person that anxiety, and then third, it gives us energy. Source number 12. He says, Hatshuva notelas es haratzon shekar nisgashem b'maaseh. He says, you know what tshuva does? It takes that energy that a person has already displayed in the sin. You know, people often think of themselves as lazy, have a hard time getting started. They should imagine themselves at the moment when they're going to do something that they shouldn't do. Because very often that's when people mysteriously find their energy. Suddenly they're able to act. And so what he's saying is that when a person is going to do tshuva, the person should think of themselves at that moment. Think of the energy they had at that moment when they did what they shouldn't have been doing. And recognize, you know, I do have the ability to move. I do have the ability to act. I need to take that energy and use it for the good. Use it to return to my highest self. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. And this is something that we can use, that I know for myself I find useful, as a practical guide. I'm going to skip a little bit in terms of what I have in the sources, but explain outside what I was trying to convey. It's important for a person to be sensitive to who that highest self is. Who is it that they want to be? It's not enough to say, well, it's the job of the sin to be my alarm clock and to wake me up. Yeah, I have a teenage son, and I'm aware of the limitations of alarm clocks. The reality is that we need to sensitize ourselves. We need to be light sleepers, so to speak, and to be attentive to the alarm clock, to feeling that. But the awakening to the sin is the key. And then it moves through the anxiety that we feel as we ask ourselves, what's wrong? Why aren't things as they should be? And then we take the passion that we used for the sin and we channel it, for the good. It's important to remember in all of this, right? Remember what we've said. We started out by talking about how sin can lead to mitzvah, and can in fact become mitzvah. We explain the concept of Rav Kook, that tshuva isn't really about correcting a particular sin. Tshuva is about becoming our highest selves. It is about remembering that we are our soul, which is pure, which has gained certain distractions in coming into this world, but tshuva is the process of returning to that perfection, improving who we are. The avera, the sin, is simply the means of awakening us, of giving us that feeling of discomfort, and ultimately inspiring us to use our energy to get back where we came from. But it's important to remember in all of this that we're talking about a perfection that's already inside of us. And even the thoughts of trying to repent are already significant. Remarkable source. Take a look, please, at source number 16. The Mishnah, the sages taught regarding a man who wants to get married. He approaches a woman and says to her, marry me, almanas sha'ani tzadik, on condition that I am a tzadik, that I am righteous. Good luck. Marry me on condition that I am righteous. Guess what the Talmud says? Afilu rasha gamur, even if he has been fully wicked, mikudeshes, assuming she accepted, she's married. Why? Shema hir her tshuva bedaito. Because maybe he had a thought of tshuva, a thought of repentance. Just that thought is sufficient to render him tzaddik. Similarly, in the passage in the Talmud regarding Yishmael, at the moment he calls out to God, we read it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, perfection is not in the accomplishment. Perfection is being pointed in the right direction. Take a look, please, at source number 17. Rav Kook said it. I didn't make it up. He says, "In ha'adam alul tamid lemechshol, if a person is disposed to stumbling, lios pogeim b'tzedek of humusar, to flaw his righteousness and his ethical conduct, ein ze pogeim b'shleim huso, that does not flaw his perfection. That's still there." He says perfection is in the longing to be perfect. Knowing what our goal is, and knowing that that's where we want to go, and trying to plan to get there, even if a person stumbles along the way, that'll just be a catalyst for him to continue harder. That is what it means to be tzaddik. That's what Rav Kook is trying to direct us towards. And so he writes in the last source that even having the thought of regret and the desire to mend one's flaws, that already makes a person a tzaddik. May we take the path of Rav Kook, the path of recognizing who we can be, being troubled by those moments when we aren't there, and using them as a spur for our own growth, beginning with the beautiful Slichos tonight with Chazen Bernstein, taking us right through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and may we earn a Ksiva v'Chasiva Tova to be inscribed and sealed for a great year.